Morning, all our listeners out there. We're learning together with Hashem's help. Masechet Brachot, Tractate Brochas, Daf Samach Aleph, Amud Bet 61b, towards the bottom of the page. We're learning, we just learned a Mishnah about the way a person should face when he's going to the bathroom. And it depends if he is in the Galil or if he is in Yehuda, near Jerusalem. So, we had a difference of opinion between the rabbis taught, right, Rabbi Yossi, okay, so the rabbis taught, let's just go through that briefly because we're still in that sugya. So on 61b, for second column in, where are we? Amarav Yehuda Marav, no, Tanu Rabbanan. Tanu Rabbanan. Hanif Nebi Yehuda. Do you have that? Tanu Rabbanan. The rabbis taught, Hanif Nebi Yehuda, person who goes to the bathroom in Yehuda. Lo Yifnem is Rav Merav. You should not face east or west. Elan Safon Vadaram. Rather north or south. Right, so he's not facing the Beit HaMikdash, rather his side is to the Beit HaMikdash. The Galil. Lo Yifne Elam Mizrach Marab, the other way around. In the Galil, he should only go to the bathroom facing east or west. Rabbi Yossi Matir, Rabbi Yossi says it's fine. Why? Shayyah Rabbi Yossi Amer, because Rabbi Yossi would say, Lo Asu Elaboraeh, this only applies where you can see the temple. Uba Makom She'ein Sham Geden, a place where there's no fence, no wall. Uba Zman She Shechina Shura, and at the time when the Shechina is dwelling, meaning when the time the temple is standing. Ba'achamim Osrim, but the Hachamim Osrim. So, the Gemara said, wait a minute, Hachamim, Hainu Tanakama, Hachamim that challenged Rabbi Yossi appear to be the same as the Tanakama. Because the Tanakhama gave his opinion. Rabbi Yossi said something different. And then Chachamim at the end came and said, no, we disagree. So wait a minute, isn't the Chachamim the same as the first opinion? It just seems like we went back from one opinion to the second and back to the first. So the Gemara says, no. Ika b'nehem sedadim. What is between them? There's a difference between the Tanakhama and Chachamim. And that is the size. What does that mean? So, our helpful English translation tells us that the sides of the provinces, i.e. the areas not directly opposite the temple itself. The Tanakhama holds that these areas are included in the decree, while the sages hold that they are not included.
So we're talking about someone out in the field.
According to Rabbi Yossi, yeah, if you're in a place where there's a machitza, a wall, it doesn't apply. But if, according to Rabbi Yossi anyway, according to all opinions, we're talking about if you're out in the field with no walls and you're, then you have to be careful.
But if you're at home in a shir team or in yeshiva,
then according to Rabbi Yossi, you're fine, you don't have to worry about it. But according to the first opinion and probably the third opinion too, you do have to worry about it if you're in Yehuda or the Galil. But it's not clear to me. It's not clear to me exactly what that means.
Now, what about a Yerushalayim?
Practice.
Huh? What about a Yerushalayim?
Yeah, so Yerushalayim is in Yehuda. So, according to the first opinion, according to the simple understanding, I'm not saying it's correct, but according to a simple understanding, the position of the rabbis is, In Jerusalem, you're not allowed to go to the bathroom facing east or west. You can only go facing north or south. Now, as far as I'm aware, that's not the halakha. far as I'm aware, I've never seen and never heard of anyone constructing their bathroom and making it very careful to make sure it's facing in the right direction. I don't know. No one I've... Right, do you shiver? No one... It doesn't even come up as a possibility. Presumably because we don't hold by that. Or because even if we do hold by the Hachamim, I've misunderstood what they're trying to say. Because from the simple pshat of the Gemara, that's what it appears like, but it doesn't mean that that's what actually they're saying is a halakha. Because all of the criteria the Rabbi Yossi gave, that not if there's a wall there, not if there's no temple, not if the Shekhinah's not there, that appears to be, from my reading, only according to Rabbi Yossi. And it doesn't appear to be a relevant criteria for the Hachamim. But maybe it is too. I don't know. So it seems to be that we don't pay attention to it. Because usually, if you have an opinion of the Hachamim, then often that's the law anyway, because you usually follow the Rabbim. And even if it's not the law, if it's something that you can be aware of and deal with. So, Tom, to be strict, we also make sure that we try not to go against that too. But here, it appears that no one is even considering this as a realistic possibility that we need to be worried about. So it seems to me that either it's very simple that we just don't go with that and we go with Rabbi Yossi and nobody argues and it's not a problem, or I've misunderstood completely what the Hachamim's opinion is. And it's not that.
Because we're so close to Mashiach, you know.
So things might change then. Because even if we do follow Rabbi Yossi, even if we follow Rabbi Yossi, when Mashiach comes, you have to be careful about it when you're in the field.
Rabbi Yossi says it's only when we have a Beit Mikdash.
Yes, and only when there's no geder, and where you can see, where there's no geder, and where there's Mashiach, Beit Mikdash. So for sure, according to all of those criteria, so we don't have to worry about it. But that's only according to Rabbi Yossi. Chachamim appear to say no. It's not, those things aren't relevant. So that's how I read the Gemara. Let's have a look, see if there's any footnotes about the law. Shalom, Rabbi Reuven. Boketov. Does he have anything about, have you got the article there? And anything about the halakha?
I don't see anything.
Oh, I have to look in the halakha books. Here we go. 48. Shulchan Aruch Or Chaim 3:5. Mishnah Brura 9:10. What's the number 50 over there? Do you want to go to Rabbi Akiva? What did Rabbi Akiva say?
No, they're talking about outside of the Eretz Israel.
Right.
Talk about Kodet?
Yeah. Yeah. If you look at 51. Yeah. Or Chaim 3:5.
Yeah, only open it, only in an open field.
Yeah. Which has no walls, you can venture panav darom v'acharav tzafon. Should go north to south or the other reverse. Aval ben mizrach ma'arav asur beis. Forbidden to go east to west. You don't have to worry about urinating. Anyway, so that was.
No, I read yesterday the same. Okay.
Now, so that was the first brayta. Now we've got another brayta that's similar. Tanya Idah was taught in a different brayta. And if Nebi Yehuda, a person who goes to the bathroom in Yehuda, lo yifne mizrach morav, elat zafon madorom, shouldn't go west, south or east, sorry, west or...
West or east.
East or west, rather north to south. The Galil, zafon madorom, asor, mizrach morav mutav. Tov, that's the same as our previous writer, just in a different wording. Rabbi Yossi Mati, Rabbi Yossi permits. Shaya Rabbi Yossi Omer, lo asu ela bo'e. Rabbi Yossi said, only where he can see it. So Rabbi Yossi is also more makel, but here the writer doesn't quote the whole of Rabbi Yossi, he only quotes the first bit, which is where he sees it.
He said that above too.
But he said other things too. So here he only quotes the first bit of Rabbi Yossi, not the rest of it. Rabbi Yehuda on there, but now we've also this brighter has additional material in which the other brighter didn't. So you see from the brighters that some brighters have more information on some points and less information on other points. So here we've got Rabbi Yehuda also. Rabbi Yehuda on there, Bizman she Beit HaMikdash Kayam Asor. The time of the Beit HaMikdash, it is prohibited. Right, what's prohibited? The rule, meaning the rule, you're not allowed to be in that direction. Bizman she'ein Beit HaMikdash kayam mutar, at the time when the Beit HaMikdash is not standing, then it's permitted. It doesn't. You don't have to abide by those rules of direction. Rabbi Akiva oser b'chol makom. Rabbi Akiva says no. B'chol makom meaning any time. No, anywhere. Oh, Bakomakom, so he's going against Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said only when Buro'eh, where you see it. And Rabbi Akiva says Bakomakom, any place you are, doesn't matter whether you can see it or whether you can't see it. Rabbi Akiva's coming to challenge Rabbi Yossi. He's not coming to challenge Rabbi Yossi. So then the Gemara said, Rabbi Akiva, Hainu Tanakama, but wait a minute, Rabbi Akiva is then the same as the Tanakama. Right, the Tanakama is the one who gave the law and said you're not allowed to do A, B, and C. And then we had arguments or clarification from Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Akiva said no. So isn't Rabbi Akiva the same as the Tanna Kamma, just like in the previous Braita? We had a similar point. Answer, Ika Benehu, this is what is between them. Chutz Laaretz. How do we learn that? Tanna Kamma permits a person to go to the bathroom no matter what direction he faces in Chutz Laaretz. Rabbi Akiva holds that even in Chutz Laaretz, you need to be careful which way you are facing. That's the difference between the two opinions. Rabba, Havu Shadayan Le Livnei Mizrach Umarab. Rabba, who lived in Babel, had bricks which were placed from east to west. And the explanation here is so that when he went to the bathroom, he would be facing north or south. I understand exactly what's going on. The other place that looks parallel, running from east to west, and you'll sit upon the back brick. He'll just be facing north. Top. He will be facing north or south. He will position his bricks that he sat on in order to make sure that he was facing north to south. That's the meaning of that initial opening about Rabba. Azal Abai Shadanhu Tzafon Medoam. Abai went and moved the bricks so that they were moving north to south. Why did he do that? So according to the footnote here, he wanted to know if Rabba had made his bricks in a particular direction on purpose, or they just happened to be lying that way. So Abai,
what are the bricks?
Bricks, Levanim. He moved them.
Bricks, stones.
Abai moved them in order to see whether or not Rabba would move them back because they were in a specific place, or they just happened to be that. That's how he just wasn't paying attention, and that's the way he put them anyway. I mean, was it intentional or not? So he moved them. Al Rabba Taratsinhu. Rabba went and straightened them. There's more going on, by the way, in this sugya, because the wording here is not straightforward. Right, if this is all, there's all hidden stuff in here. Amal, because it's not even, the wording is just all over the place. Amal man, hi de kamsa early. He said, who is this one who is distressing me? He's moving my bricks. Anna, karabi akiva, severely. I hold like Rabbi Akiva, dama bachoma komaso. I hold like Rabbi Akiva, bekoma kamasur. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva said, everywhere in the world, it's forbidden to go to the bathroom in a direction facing the temple. And therefore, I place my bricks specifically so that I would be facing away, or not away, I would be facing to the side. And whoever moved my bricks, stop it. Leave my bricks alone. He said in the faith. Midrash, whoever's doing it, hey, students, leave my bricks alone.
No,
he means b'chol makom, arguing against Rabbi Yossi, who said only way you can see the temple, and Rabbi Akiva said no, b'chol makom, these laws apply. Dov, we're still in the toilet. We're stuck in the toilet, unfortunately. Samach Bet, Amud Aleph, over the page.
62A.
Tanya, many people find that. They start learning Shulchan Aruch, and they get through the first pages, but then they get stuck in the toilet. They never leave.
Yeah,
you have to keep going. It's not such an interesting section. Keep going. So, all right, Tanya, it was taught in a Braita. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Pamachat, Ichnasi Achal Rabbi Yeshua Levet Akise. One time I went in after Rabbi Yeshua to the bathroom. Velamadziti Mimenu Shosha Devarim, and I learned three things from his behavior. Sounds like a joke, but no, it's not. It's a Torah. Lamadati, I learned She'ein Nifnin Mizrach Umerav Elat Svam Radon. I learned that we don't go to the bathroom facing west to east, rather north to south. Lamadati She'ein Nifra'in Mu'mad Elam Yushav. I learned that the person does not expose himself standing up, rather only when he's sitting. And I learned that you do not wipe yourself with the right hand, but only with the left hand. Okay, the reason is for tefillin. We're going to say later on. Should be below in the Gemara.
Samech Aleph Amud Beis or Samech Bet Amud Aleph?
Samech Bet Amud Aleph. Amar lo ben Azai, Banai says, as I said to Rabbi Akiva, Ad kad hayazta panecha barabecha? This much do you act brazenly towards your teacher? Right? Amalo, he said to him, Torah, it's Torah, I need to study. Right? He followed him into the bathroom. He watched what he did. It doesn't seem to be very kavod for your teacher.
You've
got to be Rabbi Akiva to do this. No one should.
I know it seems to be his teacher. In this moment, maybe.
Learning from Rabbi Yeshua.
You can learn from
him. But anyway, so what we see from here, it's right. The one under the we have the one under the bed, yeah. And we sit at.
And it's the same Tana.
It was the same Tana.
It's the same Tana.
Is it?
That he had to learn how to.
No, but
to
it wasn't the same. Wasn't Rabbi Akiva?
No, what he said about that.
He said also the same response.
In other words,
this is not, isn't this Torah and I have to learn? Uh-huh, so over there it wasn't correct. He kicked him out. Here
the guy wanted to learn baseball from this rabbi, so he invited the rabbi to come to the baseball games. And after 4 months went by and the rabbi never showed up.
After what went by? Never.
4 weeks went by and the rabbi never showed up.
It's a British humor.
This rabbi's not going to teach him. That's what he means.
He learned that this is
complicated
not,
story.
It's complicated. lots of felt. We need the Rashi to understand that. Tanya, it was taught in a Braita. Ben Azai once said, after Ben Azai, this is interesting, after Ben Azai told off, rebuked, so to speak, Rabbi Akiva for following Rabbi Yeshua into the bathroom and for learning from him, right? And Rabbi Akiva said to him, no, this is Torah. So then the same thing happened the other way around. Tanya, Ben Azai Omer, Ben Azai says, Pamachan ifnas yascha Rabbi Akiva lebeit kisei. One time I went into the bathroom after Rabbi Akiva. Lamadti menu shlosh dvarim, and I learned from him three things. Lamadti shein ifne mizrach me'arav elat tzafon derom. I learned that we don't go to the bathroom east or west, but only north to south. Lamadti shein ifra'im u'mad elam yushav. I learned that you do not expose yourself while standing, only when sitting. Lamadti shein makan chin b'yamin elam b'smol. I learned that you don't wipe yourself with your right hand rather than with your left hand. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said to Ben Azai, Ad kan izata banecha barabecha. This, how much you act crazily towards your teacher, Malo, Torahi, Belumod ani tzarech. It's Torah and I need to learn it. See, he learned very well from his teacher, Rabbi Akiva, that it's Torah and you need to learn it. Which is interesting, because presumably Rabbi Akiva had learned it from Rabbi Yeshua and taught it to Rabbi to Ben Azai, what he learned. But Ben Azai went and checked for himself. not enough to. Yeah, I heard that that's what you do, but let me. I want to see a gadol in practice acting.
So
now we've got the bed, also.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Rav Kahana, Al Ganatute Puria de Rav. Rav Kahana once lay under the bed of Rav. Shamei de Saf de Safak Basaf Sachab. He heard him speak and with his wife speak and then laugh and then fulfill his needs. Amale, he said to him, Deme Pume da Abba Kudlo Sharif Tavshile. Abba's mouth is like one that has not tasted food. Amale, Kahana, Hacha'at, you're here? I mean, if you're going to ask him, you should ask him afterwards, right? In the Beit Midrash, maybe, Rav, you know, when you were with your wife, it sounded to me like you hadn't eaten food in a while, right? He gave the mashup, but he gave it if he was under the bed. Apparently, according to the flow of the story, he says that from underneath the bed. Didn't wait till, right? Amalo, Kahana, Hata'at, you're here, get out of here. Fuk v'delav orach ara. Get out, it's not proper that you're here. Amalo, Torahi v'lilmod ani tzarech. It's Torah and I must study it. Right, so here the difference is he does say, get out, it's not proper, you're here. In the other stories, they weren't kicked out.
So this rabbi told the older students the story.
Which?
Or
this? Rakan.
Because
it's Torah, we might study. Nachon, it's Torah, we need to study.
Yesterday I was by Rav on the bed.
So it wasn't a problem to know, because the Torah is now the Gemara is now written it for all of posterity, that all of the generations know exactly what happened. That this is what Rav said to his wife, and how they were together, right? Because we need to learn. So the fact that we learn it is not a problem. The fact that he was under the bed at the time was a problem. Because it's Torah, and we need to learn it.
And when you teach, because Rav Tshuva, you teach people who are interested in converting. So a lot of it is just book textual or lectures, and they don't learn anything from that. So it means a little bit, but until they see it,
right,
or until they do it, or someone
right
helps them do it,
right,
it really doesn't mean that much to them.
Okay. It's like trying to drive a car from reading a book.
That's why the conversion process takes a minimum of a year and a half, or more like 2 years, if not longer. They expect you to know how to do all the holidays, and they watch you, and that's why you have to live in the community when you're converting. And that's why the biggest problems in the United States is when you have rabbis, quote unquote, that convert people without being in the community so that they know what they're doing.
Right. That's good. Okay. Gemara asks, if they ma'em mekanchin b'yamin ala b'smol, for what reason do we wipe ourselves with the right hand, not with the left hand? Do we not wipe ourselves with the right hand? Do we not wipe with the right hand, rather the left? Amarava, Rava says, Mipnesha Torah nitna b'yamin. Rava says, because Torah was given with the right hand. How do we know that? Shnei Malik, like it says in Devarim, Meyimino Esh Dat Lamo. From his right hand, the fire of law was given to them. Alternatively, Rabbi Bar Chana Amaro says, "Mifnei shehi krova lapeh, because it's close to the mouth." What do you mean, close to the mouth? Usually, they're about this equidistance, the right and the left, because it's closer. We normally eat with it, right? So it's not appropriate to use it for that. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar, because Rav Shimon ben Lakish says, because one ties his tefillin with his right hand, and that's the main one that Pots can go after, I believe. Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak Amar, Mifnei Sheh. So, oh, that's another reason, sorry. If nay.
Lakish.
Well, no, we don't raise Lakish.
Did you? First one?
Well, yeah, we did raise Lakish. Rav Shimon ben Lakish Amar, if nay she kosher bat tefillin. Okay? Next, Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak Amar, if nay she mare bat ta'amah. Because it shows the Ta'amei Torah. What does that mean? It's a point at the Torah. Apparently when you... So it's not 100% clear. There's a lot of footnotes here and a lot of different opinions as to what we're actually talking about. One opinion is that they used to write the Torah notes, the cantillation, above the letters in the Torah in a scroll. But we know now the halakha is that if you have that, it's not a kosher scroll. Right? You know, you have the letters, nothing else. But in the places where they did have the cantillation notes written in the Torah scroll, if you were following them, what's that in Hebrew?
Tamei
Mikra. Then you follow it with your right hand. But it's not clear. The footnote here has got lots of different conflicting opinions, different perishim about what it actually means.
Today, when people don't prepare their Torah very, very well, there's always someone standing next to him, Simon.
Yeah.
Doing the different tamim with his right hand usually, because he's at the right of the.
Well, so the truth is, we do everything with the right hand. We do all our mitzvahs with our right hand, right? Probably for all of these reasons. The right hand is prominence. Right hand is chesed. Right hand is the one given the Torah. So we always try and do everything with the right hand. That's holy. Katanai, and it's a Tanai dispute. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Mifnei She'Ochel Ba. Rabbi Eliezer says, because we eat with it. Rabbi Yeshua says, Mifnei She'Kotev Ba, because one writes with it. Right? If you write, even if you're writing Torah scrolls, tefillin, etc., you write usually with your right hand. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Mifnei She'Mareh Ba Tanei Torah. And Rabbi Akiva says, because it's the hand that shows the notes of the Torah. Yeah, where are we?
Third line down, the last word in Rashi.
Oh. Mifnei Torah. Neginot ta'amei mikre. The musical cantillation notes of the scripture. Shel Torah, Nevi'im Ketuvim. Ve'im benikud, whether it's vowed. Share the sefer in a book. Bein the hagbahat kol.
Raising his voice.
Uber tilt salul. The imot. Nice singing. Anagina shel pa'a pashta. Vidaga.
Efer.
Efer. Molich. Yador.
To
Am and Hina, Ra'iti, Kohen,
when they point at the words, they would do different things with their hand, right hand, to show.
It's probably where you get the conductor from. So let's continue. Amar Rabbi Tanchum Bar Hani Lai. Kol Hat Sanua Bebeit HaKisei. Anyone who had Sanua in the toilet needs so Mishlosha Dvalim. He's saved from three things. What he's saved from? Min HaNachashim, Min HaAkrabim, or Min HaMazikim. from the snakes, from the scorpions, and from the ones that damage him, meaning the demons that live in the toilet.
They were probably in the toilets then.
So what?
These lizard king were probably in the toilets.
In the toilets?
In the toilets.
What does that mean?
It means that they would go outside, and there were pits with dirt in it where snakes played around and scorpions. Maybe that's where they dumped the water in the morning before on their hands.
So they're spiritual. They're spiritual. Spiritually negative forces that exist in a place of lack of Kedusha.
This was why there was a desert, the Jews, in the Baal, there was, worship in the
earth. They used to do that. Right.
Was this all the time?
Okay. So a person who's Sanua is safe from those things. The Yeshua, there are some people that say, Af Chalamotav Mushavim Alav, even his dreams will be calming to him. What does that mean? He won't be disturbed in his sleep. A modest person who acts modestly in the bathroom is not disturbed in his sleep at night. Why? Because he's not attacked by these demons. The Nazikim will attack you if during the day you're just studying Torah all day long and you're doing Torah mitzvot. So they can't touch you anyway. But at night, maybe, when you're not studying Torah mitzvot, you're not protected by being in the Kedusha. So maybe they have a way of attacking you in your dreams. If you have bad dreams, don't push it on. But if you're Sanua, then they don't attach to you. So you don't have that problem.
Isn't that why it's so important to get up at midnight and
I don't know. I'll let you know when I do it. I don't know. I'd like to know. I'll let you know if I find out. Ahu Beit Kise Dahava Bateberia. There was a certain bathroom in Tiberias. There was a known bathroom, that one. Don't go there. Ki havu aile beitre afilu bimama mit tazke. That when two people would enter it together, even in the daytime, they would still be harmed. Right? Why two entering together? Because the Gemara says that it's a segula that you don't get harmed by demons if you have two people together. Right? Demons only pick you off individually. Right? One by one. But if you're with two people, they leave you alone.
When you passive sleep, two persons in one room, one person sleep in this room and this room.
Yeah.
I learned that somewhere in the Gemara, but you're not going into a cave or unless you're two people across the room.
Yeah.
Wasn't it in Hagigah?
At the beginning of Tanit, we learned, Blineda, we learned that a person shouldn't go out in the morning, very early in the morning. Was that the Chagiga?
Had to do with that.
No, it was
falling.
Yeah, it was ruined.
Check the ruins.
Yeah, right. Ruins.
Go into a ruin.
That's the more brachos stuff.
Tanit.
Oh, yes.
Tanit.
More brachos. So go into the ruins.
Oh, but it depends which ruins.
Okay. Maybe it's
that
one, sorry.
No, it depends on the difference of the top, maybe.
Well. No,
I thought you meant the one about the walls falling down on him.
No, they were talking about walls that were tilted and also walls that were davening in an abandoned building.
That's Gemara Brachos and Daf Bet Amud
Bet. Wow.
I told you, Svi, last time I saw you, I said, 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock.
Well, one day, maybe I'll be able to get out of my house.
By the time you come here, we'll get a little more confused.
Sorry, I apologize.
Make us see, we need to learn more. So, okay. So maybe this certain bathroom.
Maybe we should review Hagiga again.
For sure. And brachas, and tanit, and anything else that we can get our hands on.
It's only because I'm reviewing right now brachas that I remember as I started from the beginning.
You're very modest. Tov. So there was a certain bathroom in Tiberias, right, that was known for being dangerous. Even if two people entered together, and even if it was a daytime, it would still be harmed by these demons. Okay. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Havu Aile, Bei, Chad Bechad, Mechudei, Velo Mit Zake. Rabbi, sorry.
Because there was only harm because he couldn't think about Torah?
In the bathroom?
No, because in the bathroom you cannot think about Torah.
Right. So
this is what they have shown.
Maybe. The person who is, we're going to see that these weren't harmed. These two. Why? Because they acted in a snow away. What's the teaching here? Teaching here is that even in a place of no kedusha. Right, there's no mezuzah, there's no kedusha, it's just full of dirt. Right, you can still act in a holy Torah way by acting tsanua. So you're not doing any. I'm not doing any mitzvahs there, but I'm acting in a way of mitzvahs. If I'm acting in the way of mitzvahs, then it means that I'm doing mitzvahs. I'm not protected by kedusha.
It's easy to make a tsanui in front of people. Be alone.
So it's harder.
This, you can see how the person.
So Rab Ami and Rab Asi, they went. They entered each one, chad chad. They didn't go in together. They went one by one. Right? Even people who go together were home. These went one after one by one. Belovit mitzake, and they weren't harmed. They were not harmed. Amar lehu Rabbanan. Rabbanan said to them, Lo mistafitu. Didn't you see Mr. Fito in there? You know, Mr. No. They said to him, "Were you not afraid?" Amalahu, they said to them, "Anan kablag gemuina. We learned the tradition. Kabbalah debate akise sinuta ushtikuta. What we received was that in a bait kise in the bathroom." You have to be modest and silent. And that's what protected them. Kabla di sure shtikuta ubibaye rachame.
We received that you should be
quiet in your suffering and pray for mercy.
I don't
see what the connection is. Come on. Second to the
It's
all pressure.
You shouldn't kick you shouldn't complain about the Yisurim that you have.
And then you're saved from suffering. Saved from damage from Mazika. So, Tov, this second comment may be just a second teaching that they were giving. What's up teaching you about the fact that modesty and silence protects you in the toilet? I also tell you, by the way, another teaching, which is that suffering in silence and praying for mercy is a good segula too. Tov, we're talking about the same type of thing. I'm going to throw that in. Or it's directly relevant. Depending on how you want to learn that out, that it's part of this sugya or it's not. Okay, let's move on. We can try and get out of the toilet today. Abai Marbayale. Abai Marbayale, this is an interesting point. Abai Marbayale Imei, Abai's mother, Imra Lema'ayil Bahade Lebeit Hakise. Abai's mother, which actually doesn't refer to his mother, but refers to his nursemaid because his mother died while she was in childbirth. But he calls his nursemaid his mother, apparently. We learn that out in Kiddushin. So, anyway, Abai's mother raised a sheep to follow him into the bathroom.
What is nursemaid? Meleket?
Yeah. Raised a sheep to follow him into the bathroom so that he wouldn't have to go to the bathroom himself. Apparently, even having an animal with you protects you from demons, not just another person. So the Gemara says, "V'lerabe le gadya." Why not a goat? Why a sheep? Good question. Why a sheep? Why not a goat? Donkey, hamster, right? You know,
cat.
I'm not going to even go there. Where are we going? Sa'ir v'sa'ir michalaf. Answer: a goat could be changed with a goat. What does that mean? Could be a demon can switch its appearance for a goat.
Goat has horns too.
The story of, I think this is correct. Unfortunately, Rav Svi's here to inform me otherwise, perhaps. But I think the story of Shaul when he didn't kill Agag. That he was with a woman in that night, but because and she got into the prison because he changed her into a goat.
Was it Shaul?
When Shaul was told to kill Amalek, very very important story. Shaul was told to kill Amalek, but he didn't. He kept alive the sheep and the goats and the king Agag. And then Shmuel came along and said, "What's going on?" And he went and killed Agag, chopped him into pieces. Uh-huh. That was only the next morning. Meanwhile, he was overnight in the prison. And that night, he had relations with a woman, and that's why Amalek continued. He had relations with a woman, and that's why Haman and everybody else came. Well, that's why Purim and everything else, right? Because he was the last. Last Amalekite, right? So the question, the Midrash says, how did the woman get in? He was locked up. Answer: they changed her into a goat. You know, so I'm saying the demon changes into a goat in order to get in.
All the demons, kid and life. There was all the demons were the keep alive.
Yeah.
Sharp.
They were also.
But in the north there was a sect. They have the body from the goat and the head from the person. In the north, they have they was living in the cave. And there is the pictures around them, how they lived. Okay.
Not Jewish.
Yeah,
but it doesn't mean it's real.
Everything is true.
Okay, it has a nachon. I see, it has a. Alright, from a basis.
There is a perusha of the Malbim that Agag was happy that Shmuel killed him because Malbim says that when somebody like him, he was like so great position, king, and now to be in jail. Marli Maramavet, like Hamara, it's better to me to die than to be in that a prisoner.
So yeah, because Agag says that, and he says that the death is sweet. Yofi, they should all say the same. Rava Makame Dehava Resha Mikara Kasha Le Bat Rav Chista. Amguza Balakna. Misha Nechnas Sha'a Asa Asava. Sorry. It's Goethe Sefer. Till tomorrow.